This morning, I will be continuing with my series on faithful believers in the Old Testament we should emulate today. And today, we will be looking at Abraham. The text on which the sermon will be based on this morning is Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Let us pray. Father, may you pass through the sermon this morning to remind us and to teach us on the need to trust in you absolutely. On the need for us to have unwavering faith and to trust in your wisdom and in your promises as we do the work of the ministry for your name and for your glory. As we seek to serve you beyond the church, in our personal lives, in our families, may you pass through the sermon to teach us faith and absolute dependence on you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So like I mentioned, Abraham is one of the believers in the Old Testament that I believe we today in Glen Burnie Baptist Church, we should consider following his example. And I'm going to base my sermon this morning on the text that I just read to help us understand who Abraham was and how he demonstrated faith in God, which we can emulate today. But first, let me give you some helpful information about who Abraham was, as taught by the rest of Scripture. So Abraham's father was called Terah. And Terah had three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, it was not until when Abraham was 99 years old that his name changed to Abraham. So he was born Abraham. And Abraham means exalted father. And when God changed his name to Abraham, his name meant, Abraham means father of many, or father of many nations. Abraham's father, Terah, did not only have sons, he also had a daughter, whose name was Sarai. Now, Sarai had another mother that was different from Abraham. So Sarai was Abraham's half-sister. Now, while Terah, Abraham's father, was still alive, one of Abraham's brother, Haran, died. But before Haran died, he left three known children. And these children were Lot, he had a son called Lot, and two daughters, Milcah and Iscah. And after Haran died, Abraham and his brother Nahor left, and they eventually got married. Abraham got married to his half-sister, Sarai, and Nahor got married to Haran's daughter, Milcah. Now, in those days, it was allowed to marry close relatives. There was no law forbidding marrying close relatives. That's why Abraham married his half-sister, and Nahor married his brother's child. And eventually, when Terah was about 205 years old, he also passed away. But before he passed away, he moved his family to a place called Haran, which is believed to be somewhere around present-day Turkey. And Haran became their home. That's where Abraham and his other family, they grew. They settled there, and Haran became their home. And shortly after Abraham's father, Terah, died, Abraham heard the call of God in his life. But at the time, Abraham had settled in Haran. And it's believed that the people of Haran were an ungodly people. They worshiped idols. They worshiped idols. The more Abraham and his family stayed in Haran, the more tempted they were to serve the gods of Haran. And because God had a special purpose for Abraham, we see in verse 1 of our text, God comes to Abraham and say, Abraham, get out of this place. The place that has been for you your home country. The place where you've established friends. You now have assets. You now have an inheritance. Leave this place. The Hebrew word used there suggests that God was saying, leave as quickly as you can. And some theologians and biblical scholars suggest that the urgency of God's call underscored the fact that Abraham, the more Abraham lived there, the more he would become like the people there. And God said, get out of this place, because I have a plan for you. And don't worry about where you're going. Just get out. When you get out and start trusting me, I will tell you details of where you need to go or where you're going. But just get out. And if you're wondering whether or not you're going to be okay, you don't have to worry about that. I will take care of you. I will bless you. I will make sure that no one harms you. My hand of protection will be with you as you embark on this unknown journey, not knowing where you are going, leaving everything behind. Just follow my voice, because I am going to bless you. In what way? In what way is God going to bless Abraham according to the text? We see that in verses 2 and 3. He goes to tell Abraham, if not for anything, believe in the promises that I am making to you today. One, trust in me and believe in my promises. I promise you this day that as you leave this land, Haran, to the place where I will tell you, I will make you a great nation. In other words, out of you will come a mighty nation, which we know it today to be Israel. God promised that he is going to make his name great as well. God promised that he will not only bless him, but he will be a blessing to others. that through him other people will be blessed. Other people, namely those who bless him. So anyone who favors Abraham will be favored because the hand of God was with him. But anyone who curses Abraham or treats him with contempt, God is going to curse that person as well. So God promised Abraham that protection. And also that God, through Abraham, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham will not only be a blessing to his immediate family. Abraham will not only be a blessing to the nation that is going to come out of him. Abraham is going to be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth, whether black or white, whether in Africa or in Asia or in America, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed because of Abraham. And we see that fulfilled in Christ. And that is why you and I need not be Jews by blood, but we can speak of Abraham as our father through Christ Jesus. By believing in Christ Jesus, we are direct beneficiaries of the blessings that God bestowed upon Abraham. And because of God's call, as seen in verse 1, and his promises, as seen in verse 2 and 3, Abraham responds to it in verse 4. Abraham took his family, took his wife, with his nephew Lot, Haran's son, and they left Haran to this place that God had called them. The Bible tells us that Abraham was 75 years old when God called him. And Abraham began his journey of faith because God called him. So when we look at this passage, when we look at verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and verse 4, it is very safe for us to establish that God was actually testing the faith and the loyalty of Abraham. Because God can't test us. Now, God doesn't tempt us. The Bible said God does not tempt, neither can he be tempted by evil. But God tests us. God tests our faith. By calling Abraham and asking him to leave his home, God was testing him. God wanted to know whether Abraham would choose him rather than his people. God wanted to know between the friends that Abraham had made in Haran and him, who will Abraham choose? And from this, Abraham chose God. Abraham chose God over the comfort of his home. Abraham chose God over his friends and acquaintances that he had established in Haran. And Abraham passed this test. And the reason why Abraham passed this test and embarked on the unknown was because Abraham put his trust in God and in his promises. Just imagine for a moment. You are having a good time. You are living in your comfort zone. You are sure of providing for your family. You have made good connections and good relationships. Maybe if you have kids, your kids are plugged into the school system. You have a good business going on. And all of a sudden, God comes to you and says, leave all of that. Okay? First thing is, who are you actually? Because then Abraham has been in this place where there are so many gods. The first thing we see in Abraham is his ability to put his trust in only this one God. And this one God is asking Abraham to leave everything. Everything that defines him to go to where? At least tell me where I'm going to, so I can Google it and see if it is good enough, if there are enough schools around, or there are job opportunities there before I can make that commitment. No, God says, to the place where I will tell you. So you not only have to depend on me and believe that I am God and just do it, you also have to believe that I know what I'm doing and I'm going to take you to the right place. Abraham was able to do that because he put his trust in God and believed in his promises. How did Abraham put his trust in God? He recognized the sovereignty of God. He recognized the fact that God is all-knowing, that he doesn't have all the answers, and he doesn't know everything, but that God knows all things. So because Abraham recognized the sovereignty of God, because Abraham recognized the omniscience of God, he did not argue with God, and he did not question God. One of the signs of our absolute trust in God is when we don't question his will, when we don't argue his will, but when we just trust and obey. And Abraham obeyed his promises. He believed in his promises. God gave him something to work with. If you must work with something, it is going to be my promises, my word to you. What were these promises? The promise to bless him and to protect him. So Abraham believed that this God, who is all-knowing and all-powerful, says that he will take care of me as I embark on this journey of the unknown. Therefore, I'm going to go because I believe in his promises. It doesn't make sense to me because I don't know how I'm going to provide for my family. I don't even know where I'm going to, but I'm going to do it because God says so. In other words, God spoke it, Abraham believed it, and that settles it. One of the signs of maturity as a Christian is to get to that point in your life where all you are interested in is, what has God said? And when you establish the fact that God has spoken, you believe it. Even when it doesn't make sense to you. And that settles it. If you are not able to get to the point where you understand what God has said, your faith is resting on a faulty foundation. Because there is only one thing that is sure, and that's the word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will remain the same forever. The Bible said, man is like grass, and his grace is like the flowers. The grass will wither, the flowers will fall, but the word of God will remain the same forever. So whatever God says, I'm going to do it. Even if I don't have the money, even if I don't have the education, even if I don't have the connection, if God has said it, that's good enough for me. And so because of Abraham's obedience and faith in God, Abraham embarked on this journey of the unknown. Now, for our edification today, the lesson that we can learn from the life of Abraham, which will suffice for a message this morning, simply stated, it would be this. Faithful believers in today's world, faithful believers in Glen Burnie Baptist Church, faithful believers boldly embrace the unknown by embarking on a journey of faith because they put their trust in God and in His promises. So Abraham's faithfulness teaches us that this morning. Faithful believers will embark on the unknown. Faithful believers will take a journey of faith because, not because they feel they are prepared, not because they feel that they have everything it takes, not because they feel that they have the right kind of people, but because they put their trust in God and they believe in His promises. That is the way of the faith. And so as we understand this sermon this morning and apply it to our lives and to our church, the question that I may have for you this morning is this. What if God is calling you to leave where you currently are and to go somewhere where He will use you for His glory? What if God is calling you to leave your current preoccupation and get into full-time ministry or get into ministry? What if God is calling you to make a lifestyle change for His glory? Maybe stop eating the meal that you love that makes you fat and sick so that He can glorify His name by giving you good health. What if God is calling you to make a lifestyle change, something you've always been doing, but that has not been helpful for your spirituality, and God is calling you to make that change for His glory? What if God is calling you to do something that you know you cannot do on your own? You have no idea how to do it. You have no idea how to fund it. What if God is calling you to do that? What if God is calling us as a church to step away from how we've been doing things in the past to embrace something new? What if God is calling us as He called Abraham? What are we going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to question the wisdom of God? Are you going to reject the call of God because it just doesn't make sense to you? Or because you don't know exactly how this new life is going to look like for you? Are we going to hold on to our past and say it's better to deal with the known than to the unknown? What are we going to do? What are you going to do? Reminds me of the words of the famous missionary William Carey. He once said, "Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from Him." In other words, if we as a church must expect God to do great things in our midst, we must be willing and we must be intentional about attempting great things for God. Attempting great things for God is to act like Abraham, to step into the unknown, is to take a step of faith by putting your trust in God and in His promises. When we put our trust in God and His promises, then we will have the boldness to step into the unknown. When we put our trust in God and in His promises, then we have the assurance to take a journey of faith. God is calling Glen Burnie Baptist Church to embark on a journey of faith. But that journey can only be embarked on if we put our trust in Him and not in ourselves. If we believe in His promises and not in the promises of man. God is asking us as a church. God is asking us as individuals to come to Him with a humble heart. Come to him with the reality. Come to him and say, Lord, we don't have all the answers, but we know that you do. Lord, we do not know what the future really holds, but we know that you do because the future is in your hands. We acknowledge that your ways, O Lord, are always right, and love covers them all. But our ways are not always right, because our ways are often marred by mistakes, by errors, by miscalculations and wrong predictions. We acknowledge that we are often very selfish and self-centered when it comes to making decisions that have to do with our church. We are often very selfish and self-centered when we have to make decisions that have to do with our lives, with our families, with our careers. And we hardly ever really listen to you and ask that your will be done. So Lord, give us the grace that we need to step away from our own convictions and put our trust in you. Deliver us, O Lord. Deliver us from ourselves. Deliver us from our thoughts. Deliver us from our preferences. And give us the willingness and the humility to trust in you and in you alone. And help us, Lord, to be like Abraham, who even though he did not know where he was going, he put his trust in you. Help us to be like Abraham, who even though he had nothing to work with, he put his trust in your promises. Help us as a church, as a people, as a family, to put our trust in you and in your promises. Because in James chapter 1 verse 5, you have promised to give wisdom when we need it. In Psalm 23 verse 4, you have promised to be our rod and our staff when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In Isaiah chapter 49 verse 15, you promised never to forsake us, as a nursing mother will never forsake her child. In James chapter 4 verse 8, you have promised to draw near to us if we will draw near to you. In Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, you have promised to supply all our need according to your riches in glory. So help us, O Lord, help us as a church, help us as a family, help us as a people, help us, O God, that we may put our trust in you and in your promises, which are yes and amen through Christ Jesus. So as I conclude this sermon this morning, beloved, if we must embrace the unknown as a church, as a family that you are, if you must embrace the unknown or embark on a journey of faith, you must learn to always trust and obey. You must always trust and obey God, because there is no other way. There is no other way to revitalize a church. There is no other way. There is no other way to revive a church. There is no other way. There is no other way to raise a family, a godly family. There is no other way. There is no other way to save a failing marriage. There is no other way. There is no other way to build a successful career. There is no other way to be happy in this life. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so as we conclude the sermon, I wanted to just take this moment and just bow down your heads in prayer. And as you meditate on this sermon, let this song minister to your heart. When we walk in the Lord, in the light of his love. All we need to do is trust and obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Let us hear His word. But we never can know the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Please rise. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. There is no other way for us to enjoy true joy in this fellowship but to trust in our God and obey His word. There is no other way. May this be our driving thought as we go through revitalization. We believe in God and we believe in His promises. And His promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Let everyone be a liar and let Jesus be true. Let's believe in Jesus and He will lead us. He will show us the way. He will provide us that which we need. He will give us the people. He will give us the resources. Hudson Taylor once said, when we do God's work, God's way, we will not lack God's support. If we can only trust and obey God, we will not lack. Let us pray. Father, may this message be applied to our church as a body and to each individual based on what we are currently dealing with. Those who need to trust and obey You with regards to certain decisions they have to make at work, may this message speak to them. but they don't have to compromise their Christian values and principles just to stay in the game, just to feel secure, that they must trust and obey. For families that are going through challenges and they have to make decisions, for couples that are going through challenges, the marriage is sliding downhill, may this message remind them that all they need to do is trust and obey, and God will take care of them. And Lord, as we continue to trust you for the grace to be revived and be revitalized, may this message remind us, teach us, and strengthen us in our commitment to follow your will. For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus. There's no other way to be happy in ministry and in life than to trust and obey our God. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us as we exit this place to our various homes, as we exit this place to engage in other activities. May God keep us. May God be with us in our going out, in our coming in. May God guide us with his eye and keep us in his name. And may God be with us until we meet again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.